Hello and welcome to VHTB, your guide to the talent, culture, and finance side of the space startup ecosystem. My name is Matt Jurtzen from Better Everyday Studios, and as always, I'm joined today by Seika Majur of Ad Astra Talent Advisors.
Hello.
And also we are joined by Justice Killian of Space Capital.
Hey, everybody.
I'm excited today. I'm kind of kicking us off with the first of a two-part series on building connections. This one, we're going to be talking about building kind of connections internal to an organization. Next time, we'll be talking about building external connections. The question today, though, I'll admit is a little bit selfish because, you know, I'm the HR person. I'm the talent person. We're always kind of off to the side. And I'll be honest with you, within a lot of organizations, the learning and development team is always trying to figure out how do we become relevant to the company? How do we, you know, it's often said, how do you have a seat at the table? And so we're always having these discussions about how do I build connections with other departments throughout the organization when I'm not directly involved in their work. In the space world, obviously, so many of the projects that are happening at the organizations that we all help are extremely interdisciplinary, right? They all have to work together. You got to have the avionics and the structures and the prop and, you know, all these different people. And so since so many organizations very often, especially with technical organizations, right, you become really successful in one specific discipline. And it's really easy to kind of go inward on that, especially when times get tough and you're trying to meet deadlines. But in order to be effective, we have to work together. So I just wanted to kind of pose the question of when you think about the organizations that you've worked with and the team members that you've worked with, what are some of the effective strategies that you've seen to help build those connections throughout an organization to make sure they're working together to row in the same direction and not breaking up into individual silos?
Awesome question. Two things initially come to mind, and one is kind of on the marching to the beat of the same drum or having sights set on the same organizational goals. And I have seen a strong operational backbone be very helpful and effective in collaboration around goals. So that being a meeting structure that is aligning for annual goals, broken down into quarterly goals, broken down into weekly kind of reports, and not only focusing on kind of, you know, purely, if we're talking about an engineering organization, purely on engineering metrics, but we're also integrating cultural elements into that and having some stapled alignment across the organization for what we're aiming for. I think that there can be a lot of chaos created when those goals are moving. People can get whiplash from having, you know, a new leader come in and having a big organizational change, and feeling that multiple times can be very, very disruptive to the organization figuring out how to work in an integrated manner.
I love that. Yeah, there's a theory out there called the Tuckman stages of team development. They go by the forming, storming, norming, performing cycle. And that norming process is exactly what you're talking about, is having team norms of what you are, what you're doing, how you share goals, how you set goals. That makes a lot of sense.
And the other piece that comes to mind immediately is being somebody that people like to work with. And it sounds very simple, and I think it's really valuable and really important. It makes sharing information much easier. It can also feel a little bit elusive, but there's been some awesome research on kind of the key factors of professional likability are competence and warmth. Right? Being able to be good at what you set out to do, and being warm in your interactions.
Warm. Interesting. I don't know how to train someone to be warm.
I bet you can but figure it out. Figure it out.
No, I bet. Yeah. I'd have to think about that. I love that. Justice, what about you? What have you seen?
Yeah, so I've seen this problem show up, consistently across companies going from early stage to high growth. And I actually think that there's sort of a structural nature in the way organizations develop. When you're recruiting for people at the earliest stages, you're looking for people that have a breadth of knowledge that could sort of cover a lot of different domains, and the nature of what you're doing is cutting across everybody's, work, and you're figuring out ways to collaborate. And so it's just a highly iterative, collaborative environment by design. It has to be, because you're turning over so much information quickly and iterating to try to find a solution for a problem in a market and so on and so forth. But once you've found that, the objective quickly shifts to how do we do this same thing, in a repeatable way, thousands or millions of times over, right? And so, what you then get is, an organizational structure that starts to add layers and specialization. And this is particularly true within space tech, where, you have deep specialties across propulsion and systems and electric and mechanical and, all different types of domain knowledge that, essentially have to come together, into one collective whole, and make sure that everything fits together. And so, as that organizational structure shifts, I think what you end up seeing is sort of this proclivity towards like siloed teams, complex information like being sort of siloed, and then there's this like barrier to communications. And so, Seika's recommendations on how you can actually set goals and bring team together is great from like a tactical standpoint. I think, at an individual level, I think that there's specific things that you can do. And, I think engineering has partially solved this problem with like a systems engineering mindset, right? And so adopting that in really highly complex environments. And I think there's a very proactive way to do that. Like, as opposed to solving your own, the small problem that you have, taking a pause back and thinking about how it fits into the bigger whole. Being open to asking your team about that if you don't have that understanding, but a curiosity to want to sort of understand what you're doing and how it fits into everything else. And then being proactive at looking at sort of the adjacent systems around you, the engineering groups that are most affected by your work, and having conversations with those folks. And I think that that sort of leads into like an idea number two, which is, as opposed to, going in and like, when teams come together and you start to, compare systems or ideas, as opposed to, leading the conversations with directives, it's really great to sort of just start with inquiries, right? So, open-ended questions, how are you thinking about this? Help me understand like the trade-offs that we might face in going in this direction or that direction. And having a dialogue about how the pieces fit together. So this idea of sort of leading with inquiry rather than sort of you're trying to drive a directive forward.
I think that really fits in. That leading with inquiry kind of fits into that concept of warmth that Seika brought up as well. As I often think when I reflect back on my own experiences, if we take those two pillars of technical competence and warmth, often we feel we need to prove our technical competence first, which leads to maybe being a little overbearing, a little coming in and trying to show people what's up. And that then turns people off and makes it really hard to create that connection, where you really have to do the reverse. It's like first you lead with the warmth, you lead with the curiosity, you lead with trying to figure out what's going on in their world and what they care about. And that's how you start to build the relationship. And then you can show that you know what you're talking about as well. Seems like an effective way to build those relationships. That's definitely what I've seen as well when I'm trying to meet with teams.
I mean, so if you follow those first two steps, you're thinking about, strategically, where are the relationships and alliances that you need to build, to be effective to do what you need to do, right? And I think then the third is, how I think you can then build trust with other teams and build sort of, a trust factor and a competence factor. In sort of these cross-border, like by bridging gaps. And so, teams can't do everything in their silo. You're going to have to reach out to other teams to get data, get information. So the ability to offer quick turnarounds and reviews, a willingness to offer assistance to neighboring teams, even if it's outside of your scope of work, yeah, those are a couple clear examples. And so with that, you're creating some of these like bridges to partnership and building strategic allies through small little wins that just allows you to be much more effective in what you're doing. And I think that
Yeah.
then creates a natural pathway to, leadership development, managerial skills, and sort of allow, like in some of the previous conversations we've talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also I can just hear some of the organizations that I advise say like, yelling at the screen when they listen to this, like, but we're so busy, right? Like getting curious and going around and asking questions and, just kind of friendly curiosity about the organizations. Like, I don't have time to put out all the fires on my desk. And I absolutely think that there is an organization like high ROI organizationally in
Yes.
creating strategic cross-functional teams that are able to gain information and really kind of work together in harmony that comes from that. But putting it in place and being able to do it today when the payout is long term and today it feels like something's on fire can be really difficult. Any tips that you've seen work successfully in kind of facilitating ease around doing that or even making it more obviously beneficial when you feel like you've already got too much?
I know one thing, there's two thoughts that come to mind. One is around the role of a manager. And I think I've said this before, a previous leadership development course that I took used the phrase, managers are not communicated to, they're communicated through. And I think for an organization, I do think organizations would be well served of saying, like, I get everybody's busy and we should all be meeting more people. But if you clearly define part of a manager's role as being that bridge builder, then it takes some of the responsibility away from every employee and said, I'm gonna help you help communicate the vision. I'm gonna help introduce you to other teams that can maybe help you get your stuff done because I've been here a little bit longer. I have a little bit more more situational awareness of what's going on. I think defining that inside the manager role can be really helpful so that not everybody feels so overwhelmed. And then I think in terms of prioritization, one of my clients, they're working really hard to develop a philosophy of everybody should know your supplier and your customer, right? Like, who is your pri every position within the company has a primary supplier, probably from within the company, that's giving them some kind of raw material or something that they then do stuff with, and then they do it, and it primarily goes to a particular customer. And so, just in terms of, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed. I need to be prioritized. I can't build bridges everywhere. I think thinking through those, who's my supplier and who's my customer, and prioritizing them as the first connections that you really try to build can also help.
I mean, I think that's great. The one thing that I would say is when you start out your career, you're really focused on sort of a narrow set of activities and like demonstrating the ability to execute on the immediate goals that you've been given. But very quickly, I would say after the first couple of years of being able to, prove that, you're going to realize that the ability to get ahead and move and sort of have more influence is going to be a large part a result of the relationships that you build that allow you to build social capital in the organization and move ideas forward, build buy-in, get people sort of aligned behind what you're doing. And so simple things like I would just recommend that at the individual level, this should be a priority. Think about the people that are close to you that will enable you and support you and are, like you were saying, the suppliers or, sort of the customers of what you're doing. Spend a little bit of time with them. Maybe, go try to have lunch with one person on that team once a month. These can be really small things, but an intentionality around making time to be a little bit more strategic is tremendously valuable over time. It'll help you build your social capital. And if you consistently practice that, You'll start to have a number of allies across the organization. You'll have a much deeper understanding of how the pieces fit together, and you will be a much more valuable contributor. If you're only focused on putting out fires all the time, you're just going to be trying to stay swimming. You're never going to be able to see the forest from the trees. Sometimes balls are going to drop, and so you sort of have to be able to prioritize and balance that trade-off. And I think that comes with, experience, but I would recommend prioritizing it earlier in your career than sort of waiting, because it may set you back.
Yeah, I think that really is the key thing right there, is it's that realization that it's not just about what you can tactically do. It's about this bigger picture of how can you best help the organization succeed, and that you can't build enough skills to move that lever very far. It's about building relationships and working with everybody else. And so first, it sounds like, if we kind of think about this whole conversation, first it's like realizing that, making that switch, and then, okay, so now that I know I need to go out and build these bridges, it's kind of leading with the human connection, with curiosity, with warmth. Use that first to kind of start building those personal connections, and then after that, follow up with the kind of technical competence, with helping them with work that they have, putting their priorities ahead of yours in a tactical way, so that you can really strengthen those bonds, so that when you need the support, you can get it as well. Awesome. Well, this has been really great. Thank you so much. I know for me, when I'm thinking about, I'm trying to, build connections within these organizations as well. So this has been super helpful. Thank you both.